Blog Talk Radio.
I'm home.
Daylight come and me wan go home.
Well, me home. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show with Frank Stanisha. You're listening to the Candid, Frank, and Lively Show. Ramble edition. Not Rambo. Ramble. Ramble. And not Ramble. 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 Today's our fifth show. You can be heard at area code 714-242-5250. And for John, slowly, area code 714-242-5250. For those of you that have a long-distance calling plan covering North America, the call will be free. You can also sign in at Blog Talk Radio, where there is a chat line that you can sign in for. And make a comment or question in the chat box that can be shared on the air. Now, preferably a phone call would be better, but hey, that'll do. All right, today we're, seriously, no research today. I even didn't watch the whole Leaf game. In fact, I'm really, really disappointed because the Leafs lost 2-1. But on a more important recap of the game, apparently, Colt Knorr dropped his gloves, Mr. Concussed, Mr. Brave Concussed, Mr. Don Cherry favorite player Concussed, took on 6'8" behemoth, Sabre John Scott, 280 pounds of beef landed on his knees. Colt Knorr brought him to his knees. God, I wish I had seen that. That must have been awesome. When it comes to fighting in hockey, I'm on the fence with that one. I'm one of those people. You heard Kevin Kingsley mention the other day that you pay for a seat, but you always sit on the edge. You know, Cherry's right about the fact that people just love watching fights. And if a game is boring, a fight can save that game. But more importantly, it's a tactic in the game of hockey. It always has been a tactic. In the 70s, there were the the Philadelphia Flyers. I can remember the days of watching Rod Seeling come out of the corner, face full of blood. Blood just all over his face. And Boreas Salming with blood on the side of his eyes. And Ian Turnbull looking for a place to hop. No, I shouldn't say that. It was disastrous. That was fighting gone mad, gone crazy. Now, you might ask yourself a question. Why is it do we like fighting in hockey? What is it about fighting in hockey? I gave that a lot of thought without thinking about using it on this show. You know, you get on Facebook, you know, what can I say today that's relevant and muy importante, and you try real hard to come up with something like significant that really hits home. And down in the States, they have their gun issue. Now, hockey fans aren't going to like what I'm going to say right now. This is the part you're not going to like. It's in hockey, fighting is like the guns are to the Americans. In America, they believe it's a God-given right to hold and carry a gun. And to make sure that their gun isn't taken away from them, they won't let you take any gun away. That's the way they think. Now let's just switch a few things in there. Hockey instead of America, fighting instead of guns, and hockey fans like Don Cherry. Unfortunately, we have a desire to watch sports like UFC. We have a desire to watch people pummel each other. In fact, Scott Stevens was one of the greatest, the most wonderful hockey players ever to play the game, if you ask the players he didn't hit. when Scott Stevens hit somebody, they stayed hit. Sadly, the TV stations did something I didn't like back then, and they would put the hits as a centerpiece to a replay. And the announcers, through no fault of their own, because they're not there to have a conscience. They're not there to be human. They're there to be sportscasters. And when I watched a guy crawl to the bench after being hit high and in the head, literally concussed, having trouble gaining his feet, listening to people talk about, "Whoa, did you see that hit? Boy, did he really get him really good. It was, oh man, that was awesome." Like the Americans say about keeping a gun. We are a society that loves violence. The only problem I have with violence is in sports. Violence elsewhere, it's not my problem. That's the police's problem. If it comes to my home, it's my problem. But in sports, it bothers me more than anywhere else when I see it go too far. Because as a young guy doing television, well, if 25, getting on 30 is young, covering a lot of young children playing the game of hockey, and you watch the Maple Leafs at night playing the Flyers, then you see the young players trying to imitate those guys. And you're actually living what people say and worry about, which is, what kind of example can those professionals give these players that are younger and impressionable? And worse than impressionable, they may just think it's okay to do what Scott Stevens did, mostly towards the end of his career. And he really honed it. He ended Lindros's career. Lindros's brother's career ended even sooner. A lot of hockey players suffered a lot of unnecessary injuries. The National Hockey League now look after concussions. They have the quiet room where a player can gather his thoughts, if he has any at the moment. And violence in sport carries on. We, as a society, have a bloodlust. That is unfortunate, but true. So when you play a game, it's one thing when you're paid, it's another thing when you play. So my first comment for tonight is, I hope, I really truly hope, that in sports, our children can play safe. That is my biggest concern. And I can tell you this right now, one of the biggest reasons why I got left sports television, I used to have a sports show on Rogers many, many years ago. And people, I really did a lot of young kids playing sports and called play-by-play for them. And it was, You have to understand when those two guys fought tonight, you may find this hard to believe, but there are people watching who are very concerned. Their wives, their parents, their children. They're all concerned about them. Now, the reason I bring up this serious topic is because today, there's a president in the United States who's just been sworn to office for the second time. He repeated, much like we want the Argos to do, repeat. And he has a battle on his hands. And we in this country have a battle in our hands. Violence is acceptable. The question is it acceptable to the majority? Now let's get on to more serious stuff. Having fun. Okay, now, the Leafs team, oh my gosh, they looked okay. You know, Carlisle's a good coach, and he's a guy that believes in discipline. I only saw the last, I think, two periods, a period and a half. Now, they were chasing the Sabres. They were falling behind. So what happens when you fall behind a team is you leave yourself open. I'm sure Carlisle lost some hair tonight because there were so many two-on-ones, three-on-ones, three-on-twos. It was incredulous. But you know what? The teams played a great game. The Leafs played a great game. The second youngest team in the National Hockey League is not. Maple Leaf fans, get used to it. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup this year unless something really – unless they catch lightning in a bottle. Now, having said that, it's possible. Chicago Blackhawks, L.A. Kings, you know, I don't think when they won the Cup, people really thought they would. So it's possible that you can catch lightning in a bottle. But I'll tell you something. They're going with two very young goaltenders. And they're hoping those two young goaltenders don't cost them too many games while gaining the necessary experience that unfortunately they do not have at this time. Elsewhere in the National Hockey League, once again, Sagan scored. Kessel didn't. That's one of my favorite trades. That one there. You know, I wanted to see Burke leave as soon as he made that trade. I had enough of Burke when he made that trade. It was probably one of the worst trades in recent memory. When you consider he gave away more than he had to, he gave away extra draft choices or an extra draft choice because he didn't want to seem like a bad guy and because he didn't believe on the offer sheets. He didn't believe in that kind of stuff. So as tough a guy as Burke was, in Toronto, at least, he spent a lot of time trying to be nice to everybody else. And he didn't keep his own word to himself, and he used Wilson to break his word. And the guy tonight that fought, because I'm going to bring this in a full circle, believe it or not, Colton Orr was not one of Wilson's favorite players. Now, after that wonderful rambling, I promised to ramble, Colton Orr deserves a chance to play. He is not an animal. He's not a dirty player. He's a clean player, but he fights, and it's legal. So I'm not criticizing him within the rules. When you hear what I said before, it has nothing to do with the rules. That's just a personal, I'll say a political thought on my part. But the guy's a warrior, and he's a brave man, and he's trying to earn a living like everybody else in this planet. Many of us do what we'd rather not do to make a living. So I'm proud of him, and I was so glad to hear, and like I said, the real reason I wanted to see the fight, because I wanted to see the look in his eye, that glint in his eye, that told him he was back. And that's the biggest story that came out of the Leaf game, in my opinion. Now, also, Bruner scored in a shutout to help the Wings get past the Blue Jackets. That's a wonderful thing there. The Detroit Red Wings. How can the Maple Leafs become a team like the Detroit Red Wings? One of the best franchises ever in the National Hockey League. They're on quite a tear in making the playoffs. This year, there's some questions. There's some questions about that team. But I don't think any of them are really serious. The Montreal Canadiens, hockey. It's a religion. They're supposed to win. And we all know that Montreal fans are right behind the Montreal Canadiens every single game. Win or tie. They're behind them 100%. So maybe that's enough about hockey. How much time we got here? I got time to kill here, don't I? Let's see. I got fit. Oh, holy mackerel. I almost killed a half a show with just that. This is easy. John, you were right. I can do it. I can ramble on forever and say nothing significant and end up with a whole show. I love this. This is funny. I'm a nut job. That's a political thing too, isn't it? No, I guess so. You know, the other thing that I liked today, I had so much fun today. I mentioned the Cackert. On the screen, Cackert hasn't been given a contract yet. I was so tempted when I was exchanging words with him today to ask him, how does he feel about not having a contract just yet? But here's what I'm going to say about that. He said nothing to me about the contract. He just said hello. He is one of the classiest young men that I've run into in sports. Now, for those of you that don't know who Cackert is, he wears number 44, and he was the most valuable player at the Grey Cup, plays for the Toronto Argonauts, and I've never hidden the fact that I'm an Argonaut fan. More importantly, John doesn't like hearing me say this. Sorry, John, I apologize. I truly, truly apologize. I happen to think that the CFL is a great league, and I happen to think that it's a league that should stick around, and I like all the other teams that are in the league, but I do have my preference. That is the Argonauts. Now, the Argonauts got to sign this guy. Boys, if you don't sign this guy, I am personally going to cheer at least, let's see, I cheer about 90% of the game, 95. I'll probably drop it down to 90 if you don't sign this guy. That's what a loyal sports fan does, especially a loyal sports fan in Toronto. We all hope that Cackert gets signed. They have a great organization. We hope that Jones stays here in Toronto. They put together a great management team. I've gotten to know a few of the players, and I really like them. And they're really good guys. And the whole reason why I'm here today and John is helping me put together this program is because we believe that CFL football is probably one of the greatest games ever. Now, you might think I'm just saying that, but here's how I'm going to prove it's true. Everything I do for the CFL because I care about the CFL and I want it to survive. It is the oldest professional league in North America. It is a league that has Montreal in it. So does hockey. It's a league that has Toronto in it. Hockey and baseball, basketball in Toronto. Hamilton, ripped off for a National Hockey League team. They're in the league. Should I go on? Winnipeg, they got hockey. And then we go to the West Coast. BC has Vancouver. Edmonton and Calgary have hockey. Regina will have hockey shortly, trust me. And that is why I like the CFL. And I would like it even more if the CFL would make this move. And I almost want them to make this move before they make the one in Ottawa. I'd like them to go to the East Coast. Because there's got to be a team in sports somewhere. Please let there be a team that's called the Schooners. It's got to happen. It's got to be. There can't be any doubt in anyone's mind. There's got to be a team called the Schooners. I'd love that, eh? The Schooners are coming into town. I love that name. And I wish they would put a team in the East Coast. I know they could do it, and I know they probably will. Newfoundland is starting to develop a real good income, and which means a tax base, which means franchises will be looking for ways to move in. As soon as franchises see tax base, sorry guys, I know you're my friends with the Argos and all other sport, but let's face it, leagues and teams rely on help from the politicians and taxpayers. And many times taxpayers, before this sounds like it was a negative remark, many of them would prefer to pay that extra little bit to get a team of their own. Hey, hang on a second. I just moved the screen because I was just doing some stuff. There's somebody on the phone here. Hang on. Let's see what the number is. Oh, just John. What do you think? You think I should ignore him? Well, that's why my Facebook was bouncing like crazy. Oh, by the way, I made lots of CFL player friends today on Facebook. That was a thrill. Many a name that I don't know, just it was kind of thrilling. Maybe I'll put John on and John, look, there's still another 10 minutes left. I'll bring you in with 3 minutes left. Is that cool? Is that cool? I can't hear you. John, talk to me. John?
Yeah.
John?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Talk to me.
I'm here. I'm talking to you. Can you hear me, Frank? Frank,
are you there?
I'm here.
Are you there?
I'm here. Now you're pulling my leg, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mind you, though,
well,
you must have a pretty long leg because it's a long way to the city of Toronto from Mississauga.
Yeah.
So,
well,
John,
do
you have
that.
Any comments on what
story.
I? What did you?
Yeah,
what did you think I was going to talk about something like that?
Well, you know, first of all, your switchboard operator said Frank's not taking any calls from friends tonight. And I said, well, I'm not a friend. And then she goes, okay, in that case, I'll put you through. So I got through somehow, but I have to drift around a little bit, don't I? Did you like that one, Frank?
Yeah. Well, you know, if that weren't true, I'd be concerned. By the way, I'm looking for a new person to answer my phone. There's a job opening.
Well, listen, I had to call in because you were talking about Kackert, and let me just rest assured to Argo fans, Mr. Barker knows what he's doing. He's the one that picked this kid out a couple of years ago, and I loved the pick. I think Chad realizes, you know, where you know he started to blossom and where he was given a chance. And I kid you not, Argo fans, have no fear. Chad's an Argo fan, and he's part of this team. And I just don't see anything happening but him resigning here. I'm more worried about Foley. I hope Foley can come back. I love all the Argo players that made this happen this year. I don't want anybody to leave, but, you know, it's all about numbers right now. So I think Mr. Barker is going to do his thing, and he's going to get everybody resigned that needs to be signed. Let's put it that way.
I guess what you're saying is you have faith in the GM.
I do. I seriously do. Complete faith, not just in the GM, but the whole frontline management there. I just feel very comfortable what they're doing with the organization right now. And proof is in the pudding. You know, this last year they pulled it off. I think everybody's expectations, you know, were always high because we had the Grey Cup here. But, you know, to get to this point, it's just remarkable, and what a great job they've all done. So I can't wait for the season to start, Frank. I just can't freaking wait.
You know, a great man told me earlier today. It wasn't you, by the way.
Are you talking to me?
But a great man told me earlier today. He said that the Argos won as many games as they lost before the playoffs.
Yep.
They have okay. They have motivation to improve.
Yes, but I also see it as they needed a half a season to gel with the whole team. It was a reconstruction, more or less, you know, of a lot of players and a lot of lines. So the fact that Scott was able to put this team together really in the second half, and, you know, in the second half, you have to remember that we had some of our key players that were not playing. And to be able to still do it after the fact that they got, you know, came back into the game and they're all healthy, to really put it all together that fast, it just shows the coaching abilities that we have here right now in management. And, you know, obviously we got the players. They did it, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I take it then, are you concerned at all about Coach Jones going to Montreal or elsewhere?
You know, I didn't want to bring that up because I don't want to jinx it. I hate to lose this guy, but I can see.
Here, I'll knock on wood for you, buddy.
I can see the value in Jones as a coach that Montreal would like. He started his career there. He coached assistant. You know, he had some good years there, and he's a valuable guy. I think anybody would want this guy as a coach. And obviously, Scott knew that when he got him from Calgary, he got a gem. And I can't blame them. I can't blame them. Then again, you know, Mr. Jones, let's do a repeat. We need you.
Yeah, and we all know that the defense that the Argos had this year was a great defense, and the Grey Cup proved it. They were incredible. Not to take anything away from Kackert, Owens, and Ray and company, but the defense really did it for them. You know, the offense just had to do their job. And as long as they did their job, the defense was going to help them win the Grey Cup, and we saw how well they did in winning that Grey Cup. John,
sure,
let's move on to something else. Let's move on to something else. We've got a couple of minutes. We've got 5 minutes, just over 5 minutes.
Sure.
The whole reason why we're doing this is because of the CFL. Now, people who've been looking at the name of my show, nobody picked up on the name of my show. Not even you, which disappointed me. I thought you might. So, you know, the name of the show is The Candid, Frank, and Lively Show. I didn't pick a name that had my name in it for a reason. I didn't. The name, the initials are CFL. Not a coincidence. We both want to make sure that the Canadian Football League in this town gets the best shot it does at being noticed and appreciated, not for what we tell people they are, but for what they actually are, and try to highlight the fact that these guys are awesome, the game is incredible, and the people that play the game, these guys are wonderful guys. Bear in mind, and please, I ask for your forgiveness, CFL, CFL players, CFL whatever. But these guys, many of them don't earn that much money. So the only thing I can see is that they're doing it for as much about a dream and how much they love the game.
You're right. And, Frank, you know, this is the reason why the Argo Lifers support your show. You're one guy that I can see really cares and is truly passionate. You don't just, you know, talk the walk, but you walk the talk. And by buying season tickets and being a season ticket holder and being in the Argo Lifer section 134B, I really got to say this is the reason why I like what you're doing. And like I said, all the Argo Lifers are supporting you. We got your back. And I hope to see you down at Shoeless this year at post-game parties, which we hope to talk about in the near future, I hope.
Yeah, well, we're setting up a relationship with a distant relationship. We're kind of like pen pals with the Toronto Argonauts. What we'd like to do, and this, we're full, today, for example, we're just having fun with this show. Whether anybody listens to it or not is important. It's very important. We want people to listen to what we have to say. But the name I picked, not only for the CFL, we want to be candid, we want to be frank, and we want to be lively. That's what I want you to understand about the CFL and understand about the game. Like, I'm telling you, candidly, that these players, for most of them, are dreaming. And I don't mean dreaming in a bad sense. I mean, these are guys who are dreaming about carrying that silver mug that you and I have had the chance to carry. They're all dreaming about a game that they played since they were kids, and they don't want to give it up. And the CFL is a great league for keeping those dreams alive. And I am really grateful to even TSN and, of course, the management team at the CFL head office for making it possible for this league to survive. It's important to me. And, John, I'll let you say how important it is to you. You've got about a minute, buddy.
Are you kidding me? A minute to say how important this league is to me and how important the Argos are. In a nutshell, I'm just saying I bleed blue. That's it. I bleed double blue, and I'm more than proud to you know, represent as a CFL fan. So love it. Love it. Love it. Okay? Can't beat it.
What? One more promise that we make. Now, John is more of a diehard Argo fan. There are no other teams. I, on the other hand, am a big Argo fan, but and don't get mad at me, John, I'm a bigger CFL fan. I want to see the league survive. What? Are you okay? John,
yeah, I'm okay.
John, are you all right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe my ears what you were saying, but that's okay. Carry on. Keep going.
No, seriously. I mean, we are going to open Whatever we can get airtime here that we can put together and pay for ourselves, we are going to do our best to include Hamilton, and we'll work out from there. Ottawa, Winnipeg, wherever the league lets us go to find players to talk to, for you to get to know, for teams for you to get to know out there if you care about them. That's what we want to do. We want to highlight the CFL. Now, we have a home team here in Toronto, like John says, and he bleeds blue, and blue is a nice color. And I suppose it's also a nice color to end the show on, John. Do you want to say goodnight to the folks, or do you want me to do it?
Goodnight, Cleveland!
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Okay, everyone. If you're watching this live, you can watch it again if you just started. You just have to Google my name or the show's name, or you can go to iTunes and do the same thing. This show is broadcast on iTunes. You can load it onto your iPod. I know I do. I don't listen to it. I just load it onto my iPod so that someday I might listen to it again. John, thank you very much again for saving me. And thanks again for helping me put this program together. And really give me an opportunity to put back, to give back to sports, because sports has given me a lot of satisfaction in my lifetime. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity from the Argos, them considering, I guess the best way to put it, stay out of our way while we try to do something for the CFL and the Argos. We appreciate the arm's length approach that they give us. They haven't stood in our way. They may even help us, but we don't expect it. Thanks to all you fans out there who are watching and listening right now. And thanks to those who decided to listen after we recorded this program. Most of all, thank you to the CFL and those marvelous athletes that we call CFL players. John, good night to you, and good night to the listeners out there. Have a great one, everyone.